This is Football. I'm Kevin Clark. Stacked show from the Super Bowl. We're going to start with Buffalo Bills star Josh Allen, who takes us through his golf game, the loss to the Chiefs, a couple of things I hadn't thought about with regards to the Niners and the Chiefs this weekend. Really enjoyed this discussion. Peaky Blinders talk too, Oppenheimer talk. Loved it with Josh. Justin Jefferson, Viking star, joins to talk about the way his game has evolved, his input in the offense, the franchise, his future, what quarterback he wants to play with going forward. Great stuff from Justin. Marcus Spears joins, ESPN analyst, former defensive tackle. Awesome discussion on the game this weekend. What we need to know about the defenses, defensive linemen, how to kind of counteract the pressure that's going to happen in this game. Really enjoyed it. And then Ken Fuchs, the COO and head of sports, Caesar Sportsbook, joins, talk about gambling, the big game in Vegas, how that's changing everything, and prop bets. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Allen. All right, Josh Allen, series here with Subway. What's going on, man?
Good. How you doing?
Are you a Vegas guy?
No, I'm not. I do like gambling a little bit. Drove here last night, got stuck in about 3 hours of standstill traffic.
Great.
So running on about 2 hours of sleep, got some coffee this morning, ready to go.
What's the game when you gamble?
I'm a blackjack guy.
Okay.
I typically win some money there, and then I go to the roulette table and then lose it all. So that's kind of it evens me out.
You never want to get too high or low.
Correct.
You just got to plow ahead there. How's your golf game?
It's going. I don't know if I believe it, but my handicap's a 5 right now, and or at least my index is. So
now there was some controversy over Aaron Rodgers' handicap last year, so it's a big thing here.
Big
now.
Topic there, especially in Pebble. But I did beat Tom and Aaron this last year at Pebble, which is we'll take those wins.
It was the most heartwarming, earnest thing when your dad met Tom Brady the other day.
Yeah.
Can you just take me through what that was like for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just got done talking over there. To have relationships with two of my biggest idols as kids growing up, and Tom and Aaron, and you know, I got to have my dad on the bag with me in Pebble, so he was pretty starstruck. Because again, like as a kid watching football together with him, we shared the same affinity for the game, or same affinity for the game, and you know, Tom being Tom, who he is, how many Super Bowls he's won, you know, if not the greatest athlete to ever play any sport. It was cool for my dad to share that with me too.
Is he open about giving you advice? There's something you gleaned that week about football that you learned from Tom over the past week?
Yeah, I think so. Mentality wise, work ethic wise, you know, how to deal with everything off the field too.
Sure.
I think, to be able to take some knowledge from him there is pretty cool.
When you have a loss like you did, how long does that, what's the process of marinating it, getting over it? Do you want it to stay with you? Do you want it to hurt? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I think, you know, all losses, they suck. I wouldn't consider them, they don't all feel the same though. And some are far worse because you feel like you could have done more and you could have, and you know, this last game, feeling like we could have done more. You know, sometimes a team comes out and just whoops you, and that's sometimes the name of the game. But to go out there and feel like you're so close and have your opportunities to win that game and don't, it stays with you just a little bit longer.
Is it, I know you don't want to rank grief here, but is it the worst you felt after one of these things?
I know it's hard to gauge if you feel worse or not. I don't know if you feel better after losses, but
sure.
Some you feel less worse, but this one stung quite a bit.
Yeah. We've talked in the past about how you go about specific improvements over, you know, lower body stuff, whatever. Is there something right now in early February we're saying, okay, March, May, April, whatever, we're working on this? Like, what's the game plan this year for specific improvement?
Yeah, mechanically, I think last year I got into a spot where had a couple ailments, whether it was the elbow or the shoulder, which kind of forced me to change mechanics just a little bit, not being able to trust everything, all the levers. And so getting back to, fundamentally being sound as I can be, staying, you know, weight on my right side and making sure that within my eye frame, finding my strike zone and delivering the ball as accurately and consistently as I can. So got to figure out that of when I'm going to start doing that, but hopefully not too far away.
Obviously, we don't see that kind of offseason work. Can you take me through the game plan? Like, when do you – Do you want to rest a little bit? Do you want to get back after it? Like, what is the actual like timetable on that? Does it ramp up at a certain point? How does that go?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different thoughts. You can sit there and do it year round and kind of stay constant, or find the right time when you're trying to peak going into the season.
Yeah.
I've done both ways.
Sure.
But I think I've found some more success like trying to peak at the right time and ramping it up when I need to, instead of just constantly throwing year round, because I think you can get lost in practicing some bad habits. I might feel good out the hand, but you're not throwing it well. But if you time it right and you're working with the right people, understanding yourself and your body and how the ball's coming out at the right time, I think that's super helpful.
How do you self-scout? Like, I know like every year, because you play such a amazing style where you do so many different things, and maybe you want to heighten this part of it, to peel back this part of it, or, you know, use your legs in a different way, whatever. Like, the process of self-evaluating what you just did, I'm sure coaching is involved with that, private coaches, you just watching yourself. Like, how do you view how you played last year, and what is the process like?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of open dialogue with your coaching staff and what do I need to do to get better in their eyes. Because, again, as a player, as a quarterback especially, I'm an extension of the offensive coordinator, right? So what can I do to help him when he's calling plays? How do we get on the same page? So there's a lot of mental work that goes in it.
Right.
And then sometimes it's the eye test, especially with the mechanics side. Like, you can tell if the ball comes out funky, right? You can see your mechanics be like, what am I, like, why is my leg flipping over here? Why aren't I shifting my weight appropriately? And so again, going through that and then trying to understand why those things happen. And again, sometimes you're out of your control. Sometimes you got guys at your feet. Sometimes, you know, you're dealing with some injuries, and you got to find a way to work around it. So that's part of it too.
Football aside, and like off-season game plan aside, like, what does the off-season of Josh Allen look like? Are there like things you want to watch, vacations you want to go on, golf you want to play? Like, what does that stage look like?
Well, I think it's getting away for a little bit, physically, mentally. Playing some golf. Taking a trip here or there. But
any golf trips?
I've got one of my buddies' bachelor parties. Yeah, we're taking like a 4 or 5 day golf trip. It's gonna be awesome.
Where?
Kyle Allen. We're going to Sea Island, Georgia, and we're going to a little place in, I think it's Cobb City, Georgia, middle of nowhere.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's going
to
be awesome. We'll
go to Pinehurst in a month. Pinehurst, course record in danger on all of them. No. I'm going to shoot 105. So we love pop culture recommendations here. Like, what are you watching? What are you reading? What do you have to recommend to the people?
I've pounded on the Peaky Blinders table for so long. I love that show. One of the greatest, if not the greatest show. I think Cillian Murphy as Tommy Shelby is probably my favorite character of all time. Other than that, I really haven't. I watched Ted, the TV show.
Okay.
Because I'm a big Family Guy.
Sure.
I love Family Guy. And it's the same creators. And, you know, it just feels like Family Guy, but in real life. And I really enjoyed the TV show, Ted.
If you like Cillian Murphy, have you seen Oppenheimer yet?
I have, yeah. Enjoyed it.
He cooked.
He did.
He's like the best actor in the world. I would watch anything he's in.
Yeah. Batman Begins, I thought he was awesome. And again, Christopher Nolan's, he's been in all these films with Christopher Nolan. You go back to even Inception, like, and he finally got his spotlight where he's the main protagonist, and he killed it.
The guy who plays Arthur got popped on drugs the other day. I think it should be legal for him to do anything. Like, it's Arthur Shelby. He can do whatever he wants.
He's Arthur Shelby.
It's fine. What do you like about that show?
I think the soundtrack that goes along with it is awesome.
Absolutely.
The slow motion shots. And again, just Tommy Shelby is just a badass. Like, he's a man's man, takes no prisoners, and he does what's necessary for his family. And I think that's pretty cool.
I love that. Speaking of this game this week, is there a guy on the field on Sunday that maybe we don't appreciate enough as national media that you think you just love watching? Could be on either side of the ball for either team, where you say, this is a guy I circle and I just love watching, that's not, you know, George Kittle, Patrick Mahomes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, although I do think George Kittle doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Ooh, why don't we just do that? Take me through what you think about Kittle.
I think in terms of, one, catching the ball.
Yes.
He's up there. And then with the ball in his hands, he is one of the toughest, if not the toughest guy to bring down in the open field. He's constantly getting racked. And he's pancaking D linemen and D ends in the run game. Like, he's doing everything humanly possible that he can do to help his team win football games. And I think he's a huge catalyst. I think you talk about Juszczyk and what he can do for the Niners too. Obviously, we know Pat. We know Travis. Chris Jones is awesome. I think Karlaftis, the DN for them too. He doesn't get enough recognition. He's very quick off the edge. He's got a motor on him. He doesn't quit. He's fun to watch on tape too.
Not to belabor it, but this Chiefs defense is good. Why?
Well, I think they play sound football. You know, they don't make mistakes. Their corners are very, you know, very grabby. They are very physical at the line of scrimmage too. They jump jam, which for some smaller guys, it's hard for them to get off the line. And, you know, they play to their strengths, and I think that's what makes them pretty good.
Is there a DB that, I mean, like Snead is obviously McDuffie. Like, is there a DB that jumps out in that secondary that's particularly nasty?
Well, Snead's really, really good football player. And I think McDuffie is too. And I think their secondary, they just play very well together.
Yeah. All right, we do two things. We ask everybody the same two questions. Number one is called Badasses. Biggest badass you've ever been around in football. I think we've talked about this before. But of the teammates you play with right now in Buffalo or the last couple of years, is there a guy who sticks out where you say, this guy is the number one badass I've ever been around? Or just in the mix of the current guys who are around right now?
I think both my tackles.
Oh.
I think Spencer Brown especially. Yeah. Like, he's got a little crazy in him. Like, you don't. Like, he kind of gives you a look where you don't mess with them. And I think Deion's got that dog in him too, where, like, at any point they can snap and they've got everybody on the team's back and they're always in the pile and the scuffle. And I love those guys.
Can you give me a Spencer Brown story?
Spencer Brown, well, he's got a hurt ankle against the Giants.
Yep.
And he got into a scuffle there, and I go and try to have his back. And yeah, I'm sure you can go look up that clip. But then there comes Cybo, Osiris Torrance, our rookie guard, who didn't know who to help. He didn't know if he should help me or Spencer, and he was kind of caught in the crossfire there too. So, but Spencer, he's going to have your back no matter what.
Love that. And then we have something called one rep back, which is you get to relive any play of your entire career, any level, and you get to do it over again and do it differently. Where are you going, Josh Allen?
Are we talking about good plays?
No, we're talking about just you get to relive a play that maybe didn't go your way, and you get to do it differently. Like, and this could be anything. We had Steve Young yesterday, and he said that, you know, there was a holding penalty in a huge game, and he would just have played that a little bit differently. Like that kind of thing. Is there a play that stands out where you say,
yeah, I think most recently the last throw to Khalil Shakir,
yep,
against the Chiefs. If I could just move up or move in the pocket just a little bit and give a better ball, who knows what's going on now?
There was pressure coming on that side. On the Chris Jones
just
side,
a little right? bit, but yeah. If I could have, like I said, evaded or moved up and not gotten hit while I was doing it, and again, just having that pocket presence of feeling that stepping up and delivering a good ball.
Do you watch that over and over again, or do you not want to see a play like that?
I mean, I replayed in my mind. I can watch it up there and feel the same feelings.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell us what you're doing with Subway.
Yeah, we are unveiling, or not unveiling, but just promoting three of their new products. We got the.
Oh, here we go. Footlong, we got props.
Cookie, the Cinnabon Footlong Churro, and the Annie Ann's Footlong Pretzel.
Beautiful.
So we've got this carrying around the safe. There's some hot commodities right now. And what's your favorite number?
10.
10? Okay. And then give me your shoe size.
10.
Okay, 10.
There you go.
See what I did here? And it opens. You guessed it right. So now it's gonna open, and we got some goodies for you.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Get lunch.
Try these out. Yeah. They're really freaking good.
Awesome.
So everybody, the whole team.
Whole crew?
Yeah. They're meant to share.
Got some forks here too.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Loaded up there. Awesome. Josh Allen, thanks for going to the football,
thank you so
man.
Much. Appreciate it.
Up next, Justin Jefferson.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, Crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Justin Jefferson is here with Madden. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Can't complain. Everything is going pretty good.
So last time I had you was literally through Madden 2 summers ago. And we were doing our top 10 receivers list. And I said, I don't want you to rank yourself. And he stopped me and he said, no. But at the end of this year, I will be top 10. And I loved that answer. I wasn't asking for it. You volunteered it. I think that's pretty much undisputed now.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, just in the last 2 years, how you think your game has evolved. If there's one thing that you're talking, if you're talking to yourself from 2 years ago and you're saying, I got better at this, this is how my game evolved, where do you start?
I mean, every single year, I really just try to elevate my game in every single category. I mean, there's always room for improvement for me. But I would have to say just working on just staying strong, keeping my balance, having that explosion, just running my routes, getting in and out of my breaks. But there's always stuff that I'm learning, I'm still a young player. I'm still new to the game. So every chance that I get to really learn from another player, learn from, another coach or what the case may be, I'm all ears, I'm all glued in and locked in to how to become better.
Can you give me a recent example of something you've learned, whether that's asking a cornerback or asking an opposing coach, something like that, where you say, okay, I took a lesson from here?
Really, I mean, Coach Sullivan, that's my coach that I've always adored and always is grateful for meeting and having him come and teach me how to become a top receiver. Really, him just telling me to be patient. You don't have to rush everything. You don't have to be the fastest through everything. Right. It's all about knowing your technique, knowing to be patient throughout the route, and just, relying on yourself, trusting in yourself to go out there and kill it.
You played against the Chiefs defense this year, and I think we all kind of missed the narrative nationally because everybody's complaining about the Chiefs wide receivers over the course of the year and the drops and all this. And it's like, actually, the story is that they've got a nasty young defense that's going to be really good for a long time. Yeah. That's going to make Mahomes even scarier with Spagnuolo. Tell me something I don't know about this Chiefs defense, having gone against them this year.
I mean, they're definitely young. They're definitely young. They have the energy. They have the swagger out there. And of course, they know how to stop that number one receiver. They've been doing a great job this whole year, as in to keying on that number one receiver, you know, putting Snead on him and, you know, trying to disrupt him at the line of scrimmage. That's been, you know, the key for them. Of course, with Justin Reed at the safety position, he's been flying around all field, like maniacs, and making plays after plays. So they're definitely going to have, you know, a handful, especially with the San Francisco offense and the amount of players that they have on their side. So it's going to be a tough game. I'm excited.
Take me through what L'Jarius Sneed does well.
He's physical. He's physical. He's fast. He's quick. He knows how to recover whenever he does get, you know, a little beat. And I love his energy. You know, his energy is always good. His energy is always, you know, fierce and always attacking. So, hey, I'm excited for the matchup that we have to come, you know, later in the future.
Is there a skill guy in this game that stands out to you that you just love watching, whether that's Ayuk, Debo, Travis Kelce, obviously being a skill guy, George Kittle? Is there a player you're just like, damn, I just love watching clips of this guy?
All of those guys definitely have been phenomenal. I love every single one of those guys that you name. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes already speaks for itself, you know, just, you know, what the throws that he make. And just like you said, everyone was complaining about the drops, the receiver position, and he's still making plays out there. You know, Pacheco is running the ball hard as ever, as always. But I mean, that team is hard to beat. You know, they're hard to really count out. And, you know, you look at the sheet on the other side of the field. You know, you see, you know, C-Mac, you see, you know, Brock, you see Debo, you see all of these different guys. But, you know, it's tough to count, you know, Patrick Mahomes out.
When you watch this Niners offense, obviously your playbook that you run now is similar to the McVay, Shanahan style and all that stuff. But how much does this Niners offense just impress you from a play calling standpoint, just from the way they make people miss? I mean, they're a tank, man.
It's so many guys on one field at one time. You know, the running back position is the number one.
Yeah.
You know, you got Kittle, which is the number two tight end. You know, of course, you got Debo, which can go at the backfield if he needs to, but he's electric whenever the ball is in his hands. And then you got Brandon Ayuk, which is a great, smooth receiver that can blow the top off if he needs to. So it's so many guys out there on that field. That's why I love this matchup. You know, you don't really know what's going to happen. You don't know which side of the ball is really going to be the difference maker in this game. But it all is all about defense. You know, defense wins championships, especially with the type of cats is on the offensive side of the ball. So the best defense is going to win.
There's so much talk about your future, obviously. And when you're thinking about your career, where do you want to be? I'm not talking about a place. I'm just talking about, you know, goals you've set for yourself. Let's say 3 years from now, you want to be saying, all right, Justin Jefferson is what in 3 years?
I want to be solidified as the number one. I don't want it to be a question. I don't want it to be a debate. I want to be that number one receiver in the league. Of course, just being consistent throughout my whole years. And of course, speaking on Madden, I want to be that 99 overall every single year. So it's exciting for me. I love this game of football. You know, of course, you know, it's going to be tough, you know, not knowing who the quarterbacks is going to be this upcoming year.
Yeah.
But it's not really something that I'm 100% focused on. You know, I'm confident in whoever is going to be throwing me the ball, as long as, you know, they're throwing me the ball and I'm able to make plays. So it's exciting this upcoming 3-4 years is coming up, but I can't wait.
Is there a type of quarterback you'd like to play with?
Not really. I mean, Kirk has been doing it for me ever since he got into the league.
Love Kirk.
He's been, you know, blessed to be in the situation that I'm in. There's so many different other situations that I could be in that it can be a lot different for me. So I would like to have Kirk back, of course, but you know, of course, I'm not the person to make that decision.
Do you feel like you have input on those kind of things when you can talk to KOC, you can talk?
Yeah, I feel like I have the type of player that I am. You have to listen to, you know, your main players. You know, you have to just get a little inside. You know, just want to ask them a question of how are they feeling.
Yeah.
But I mean, all of them are definitely weighing in on the stuff that I have to say. But I feel like everyone has that communication in that building. You know, KO has been doing a great job with communicating with us and making sure we're all on the same page. So, you know, hopefully we have Kirk back next year. I'm always happy to have him around and love his spirit and love, you know, what he do for us as an organization. So, you know, only time will tell.
Totally. All right. We do something called badasses. The most badass person you've ever been around in football. Could be a teammate at any level. And we know what football badass means. You have the floor, Justin. Yeah. Your badass is who?
Oh, man. I ain't going to lie. The dog that I've seen, Adam Thielen.
Whoa. Take me through why Adam Thielen's a badass.
I mean, he's always tough. You know, even when he has those injuries. You know, even though, you know, he's classified as an older player in his league, he's still battling. He's still getting 1,000 yards. You know, he's still going out there and giving it his all. And every single day being in the building with him, every single day he always came prepared to come to work. He always kept a smile on his face, and he was always determined to be better every single day. So that definitely was a great person and a great player that I was, you know, able to really come up upon and really be taken under his wing.
Tell us what you're doing with Madden.
Oh, man, I'm excited to be with Madden. Excited to be working with Madden. Yeah. Just like I said, becoming the 99 overall in the game. That was a dream of mine as a little kid, playing the game for all of these years that I've been playing. And just trying to work with them as much as possible. I'm a gamer, so I always enjoy playing the game of Madden.
Do you only play with yourself?
Most of the time. Okay. Most of the time. But I definitely switch it up a couple of times.
If not you, then who? Like,
I play random. You know, okay. if you're a good Madden player, all you right, can I play gotcha. With anyone. So right. I random sometimes, play against my teammates sometimes. We definitely do a couple of random games.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Justin. Appreciate
Thank you. Appreciate you.
And up next, Marcus Spears.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Marcus Spears is here. He's here with Louisiana Fish Fry. We got the sandwich right here. What's going on, man?
Man, chilling, man. It's been a fun run for me at the Super Bowl because I just got here yesterday.
What's your max on Vegas days?
3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, if anybody's a grown adult that has spent time in Vegas, you know after that 48-hour window, it's time to start winding down.
I have a similar rule about the NFL Combine. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I've seen everybody that needs to be seen. I've drank too many Coors Lights.
And two, like, I see all these people during the year.
Yes.
You know? So yes. Now, I will say this. Sometimes the accommodations can extend that. if they are up to par and it's a good 2 or 3 restaurants in that whatever location.
I hear that. Hey, so I have from a defensive lineman standpoint, I had Kyle Long on the show a couple weeks ago, and he talked about how Patrick Mahomes is able to use defense's strengths against them and his own weaknesses against the defense. He's compared to a jiu-jitsu fighter.
Yeah,
he knows the weakness and he uses against it. When you're watching D linemen chase down Mahomes, and Mahomes, his speed is just fast enough. That's what it is, just fast enough.
Yeah.
When you watch the nuances of how he moves behind the line of scrimmage, what stands out?
His ability to set up where he wants guys to be. And then, two, you already rush with a mindset that he's going to burn you.
Right.
And not with his legs. So your whole idea of how you approach getting after him is pressure in the center of the pocket and your defensive ends pretty much contain it. But in your mind, it's like he's not fast enough for us to slow down our rush. If you're playing Lamar Jackson or you're playing Josh Allen, you got to be cautious about getting behind him and getting behind those guys, you know the speed, you know the physicality of when Josh gets to the second level, coupled with the speed. With Pat, it's almost like, unfortunately, it's still sneaking up on you. And you look back and it's like, man, we gave up 42 yards rushing to Pat in the third quarter, and it was two runs. But I think it's one of them things where you got to constantly remind yourself.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to the grocery store and your five-year-old is being good for like the first 30 minutes and you forget that at some point they're going to start pulling everything off the aisle. And they're going to lose their mind and go crazy because they're going to get bored. So you kind of get complacent. And that's what happens with Pat. So you almost, for four quarters, you really got to respect him as a dual threat guy.
I completely agree. Joe Tooney injury obviously plays a part in this. But if you're Steve Wilks and you're playing Mahomes right now and understanding where the pressure might come from. I mean, Nick Bosa, I think, got shut out by Penei Sewell, but still had eight pressures.
Yep.
That's just what he does. Yep. What is kind of the tactic? What's the game plan? Knowing what San Francisco's strengths are against Mahomes and some of the adjustments
they've
made.
To me, you know, you mentioned Tooney. This is, to me, a Javon Hargrave and Armstead game. And I've always felt like when you get to this point, I mean, we've seen Chris Jones change games in Super Bowls and playoff runs.
Buffalo game.
Right?
So
it's just, this is actually, you take the onus on yourself as a defensive line.
Because
if we're going to ask any secondary to cover.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
Right. And now Andy has started putting Travis Kelce in these game plan specific situations where it's clearing the picture for Pat early, which he don't need help with that, but they're helping him. I think the defensive line is the most effective way. And you remember in the first matchup, Bosa was trending towards being the MVP of that game.
Yeah.
But to me, it's interior pressure. And it's kind of become synonymous with the NFL. If you think about Aaron Donald getting after Joe Burrow in that play that could have won the Super Bowl. If you think about AD getting after Jimmy Garoppolo and forcing an interception. You think about Chris Jones last year and his ability to affect the pocket in the center. And it's always been quarterback's kryptonite, doesn't matter who it is. If you can get that immediate pressure.
Yeah.
And that's why they gave Javon Hargrave $90 million.
That's right.
For this particular situation.
Yeah. I mean, that literally one, as you said, one play, one pass rush can define a legacy. I mean, you think about the Josh Allen Shakir throw that was in the end zone. If Chris Jones doesn't put Deion Dawkins in his lap, Josh Allen is not coming on the show at 12:15.
Exactly. He makes that throw.
He's somewhere else today.
And
he's not here on behalf of Subway, wherever he is. We love Josh, but he's going to be in this seat in 2 hours. I want to ask about the Cowboys a little bit because there's such consternation over everything. And I know that's pretty much constant over the past 30 years. Can the Cowboys as currently constructed win the Super Bowl?
No. And I've said it. I've went on rants about it. People always talk about how great they are. They have great individual players. But the substance of winning a championship is those key pieces that we've watched transpire over the last 10 years. A veteran, a guy that you think changes this part of your team to elevate you. And I tell people all the time, for as much as people talk about Dallas, the Los Angeles Rams traded away a Super Bowl quarterback to win one. Like, put that, I just try to always put that in context for people. Jared Goff had proven, I am good enough, coupled with Sean McVay, to get there.
Yep.
We look at Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Jimmy Garoppolo got there with him.
Yep.
But he gave away three first-round picks because he thought that little bit would be the difference. Now, fortunately, Brock has played well, and he's elevated that position. But people forget Jalen Ramsey was acquired by the Rams. They went and got Odell Beckham Jr. They drafted well. They built Andrew Whitworth.
Yep.
They built this thing through substance. And Dallas sits pat every free agency.
Yep.
And they try to, like, sell these moves. I didn't think Brandon Cooks put them over the top for a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I thought Stephon Gilmore was a phenomenal piece to add. Yep. I didn't think that was over the top for a Super Bowl. Now, if you go out and you sign, by the way, this free agency defensive line class, if they are really all in, like Jerry said, Justin Madubuike is a free agent. Christian Wilkins is a free agent. You think about Josh Allen in Jacksonville is a free agent, which I don't think they need. I think DeMarcus and Micah is playing at a very high level. Devin White should be available from Tampa. They didn't, Kevin, they played without a linebacker. They played pro football. in the NFL with no middle linebacker.
Yep.
And coincidentally, the two best defenses in the league were two units of the best two linebackers in football. But everybody wants to get me on the show and ask me, do I think Dallas is good enough? Hell no. I've been watching football a long time, dude. I ain't never seen a team play without a linebacker.
Why do you think Jerry stands pat so much? We had Thomas Dimitroff on the show a couple months ago, and he was talking about Howie Roseman. And he was saying he had to sit Howie down and say, Howie, stop saying everybody on your roster is worth a second-round pick because he's so aggressive. And he would anchor negotiations high. He's always calling on, you know, every guy in the league. He's calling, he's checking. Hey, you know, guys you would never call about, Howie's calling about and saying, hey, what's up? And I remember Cowboys fans who I mentioned saying, Jerry hasn't made an outgoing phone call in 30 years. And I don't know why Jerry, he's very, the Will McClay, the front office, they get talent, but it just seems like in the era of all in, they never actually are all in.
No, they draft as well as anybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like we see homegrown guys get extensions and play at a very high level. Problem is, that's not winning Super Bowls now. That's the issue. So I tell people, I go back because I'm, you know how much I love the Cowboys, but I'm critical. I felt one time over these last 30 years that Jerry was actually all in. When we got Leonard Davis and Mark Colombo and Kyle Kozier and Terrell Owens and Ken Hamlin, and we added pieces that I thought would be, and those were Wade Phillips years where we went 11-5, 13-3. We got a first round bye in the playoffs. All of this stuff was that's all in to me. Yeah. When you go get Terrell Owens, you all in. You ain't just signing T.O. to be like, well, we want him to be a part of the organization and win. Now, that's a part of the star, and his star power will boost it. But if you think about that era of free agency, of we really trying to go win a Super Bowl, that's the last time.
Tell us what you're doing with the Louisiana Fish Fry.
So this is a labor of love. Is the best company on earth. I'm serious, man. Like,
no,
and you know I'm from Louisiana, so I'm not biased, but I'm biased. But this was a brand that I grew up,
of course,
using my grandmother, my family. It reminds me of family functions, good times, music, and I'm from Louisiana. We fry fish. We fry the fish that we catch. But we wanted to enter the chicken space because I love chicken.
Of course.
And I had to, you know, pull a couple of legs and twist a couple of arms to get there. But the team is super supportive. Louisiana Fish Fry is the best batter company, sauce company, anything you want to do. And we're trying to introduce it to people in the Northeast. I'm not going to mention another thing that they use up there, but this is better. So we brought you a chicken sandwich that I designed the way I like to eat my chicken sandwiches. And it's going to be the best thing you ever ate.
I like this tactic of getting it into the Northeast, giving it to me. I'll go to Connecticut to just evangelize.
Y'all need seasoning.
We need it. Yep.
Y'all need seasoning. Y'all need good food that's wholesome. Because everybody I meet from the Northeast, Kev, looks like you. No meat on their bones. And I'm trying to get Darren Orlovsky to like try something.
He's not going to do that.
He going to try it with this. We just like unveiled the Swagoo edition of the chicken sandwich. And it was on So Yummy, which is, you know.
Of course.
And Dan actually responded like, yo, I would eat that.
Wow. Wow.
Now, this sandwich has sauce. That's phenomenal.
Sure.
Obviously, it's fried in our Louisiana chicken fried batter. I put an egg over medium on it. Put cheese on it. And the bread has to be soft. So within that box, Kev, when you open that box and the music and the sunshine come out, you'll understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Thanks so much for coming. This is football, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Up next, Ken Fuchs. All right, Ken Fuchs is here. He is the COO and head of sports, Caesars Sportsbook. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. So, all right, so obviously a bunch of extra elements for gambling and Caesars this week with the game being in Vegas. We'll start here. Does the game being in Vegas change anything from a betting perspective? Are there going to be more bets? I mean, how does it put it in context? What it means for this game to be here in the home of sports betting?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it just raises awareness for the industry overall. I mean, obviously, had great success with local sports teams, the Knights and the Raiders. And, you know, but having a Super Bowl here, I think, takes it to a whole nother level. You've got a city that is built for entertainment and sports. You've got a league and a sport that's all about celebrity players and the entertainment side. And I think you put those together and, you know, it's just an explosion of goodness here. And so, you know, we're seeing it. We've got, you know, well over 100 sports books throughout the state. Some of the most iconic ones with Caesars Palace and some others. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Super Bowl is really a social endeavor in many ways.
Yes.
So I think you see the coming together of betting and the social environment and the big game and all of that in one place.
Everybody watches the Super Bowl? I mean, literally everybody. I mean, you're looking at hundreds of millions of people. Does that change the way people bet? Are there more casual bettors who say, all right, we'll put $5 on this? Does that change anything about the weekend as far as just the fact that everybody watches and everybody bets?
Yeah, for sure it does. I mean, it brings in a different type of customer. But you know, at the end of the day, it really does come down to who's going to win the game, who are going to be the star players, how are they going to perform. And that's why you're watching the game. And so that's what people are going to bet on. And there's a lot of fun props that you can bet on that you can't normally bet on. You know, we at Caesars kind of introduced the concept of that with the fridge in 1986. Yep. We put out a market of whether you would score a touchdown and in cash. And so I think ever since that day, you have a lot of fun with this game. And I think by having fun with it and adding all these different markets, we'll field goal hit the upright.
Or, yeah.
You know, you're able to just really appeal to anybody who has a passing interest in the game and let them have some fun while they're watching it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it does come down to it's a football game. There's a lot of attention to it. People want to know who's going to win, who's going to lose, and who's going to perform.
You mentioned the origin story of props. I love that. The fridge, obviously, who was a national phenomenon. He scores a touchdown in the Super Bowl. What has been the evolution of that? Because props are like the most fun thing in the world. We have a full sheet of them here that we're going to get into in a second. But like, how has that market developed and how have you seen it change even over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a pretty fast learning ramp for customers because, for one, I think people follow players here. You know, at the end of the day, you care, especially now in the age of social media, a lot of younger customers, you know, care a lot about who their favorite player is in addition to their team. I think, secondly, you have the rise of fantasy sports here.
Yep.
So you have an innate understanding of stats and performance of different players. You follow them for your fantasy team. And so I think it lends itself to then backing that in terms of how you bet, the research you can do. And so I think in our industry, you've seen the rise of same game parlays and player props because of the popularity of the players and how they relate to the game and their impact on the game. And so, it's just accelerated over the last couple of years, and I think it'll continue to do that.
Popularity of the players. I'm looking at wide receiver props. Travis Kelce over 70.5 yards. Is there a Swiftie effect on this? Is anybody backing Kelce? Travis Kelce?
Who?
She's a singer. She dates one of the players.
I don't know.
We'll put it up on Wikipedia, I think. We'll figure that out.
Here's an amazing stat so far is there's more bets on a Kelce anytime TD scoring market than spread or money line for the 49ers.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So you tell me, is that a Swiftie effect? Maybe. But, you know, clearly very popular. Everybody thinks he's going to score. It's generating a huge amount of volume for us. So,
wow, that Kelce step blows my mind. Listen, Matt, he was on this show 2 years ago, and now it's like we're never going to see him again. He's never going to step foot in the radio room ever again. He's the most famous man in America. It was funny that Collins told that story about Mahomes and how he loves this because it used to be Mahomes would step off the bus and he would get hounded, and now nobody cares about Mahomes because they're saying, Travis, you know, and so it's incredible the shift in that. And then what you're doing, what you're talking about with the bets just kind of speaks to the amazing rise in fame.
Yeah. And we do have some Taylor themes boosts, you know.
Oh, yeah? Can you take us through some of those?
It's not your problem, it's mine. And, you know, a few others. We're just having fun with it. I think, again, you know, it comes down to this is a fun event and you want to celebrate it. So we tried to do that in the markets we offer around all aspects of the game. That's obviously a big cultural piece of it.
What's your favorite genre of prop bet, whether it's, you know, coming up with it? I mean, obviously everybody always talks about the national anthem and the Gatorade color and all those wacky things, but do you have a favorite where you're just like, we really like offering these and it's fun?
You know, the most fun part for me is we actually open up an employee contest every year.
Oh, cool.
And we let our teams recommend bets. And then we, we pick some and then we actually see how they perform. And so they always come up with, I think the field goal one was one yeah. that an employee came up with this year. You know, onside kick. There's been some onside kick ones that they've come up with over the years. Yeah. So I think it's always fun. There's people are really creative and to give people a chance to participate. We've also done that on Twitter where we've opened it up and allowed the public to vote on and provide us ideas. And so those are the most fun ones because then you're getting what people are thinking about and something unique that no one else is offering.
I love that. So we'll go through some of them here. So Purdy and Mahomes both have 1.5 over under passing touchdowns. That's minus 125 for Purdy, minus 160 for Mahomes. First touchdown scorer, the favorite is Christian McCaffrey. Super Bowl MVP, obviously the favorite is Patrick Mahomes. Second, Brock Purdy. Third, Christian McCaffrey. Fourth, Travis Kelce. Fifth, Deebo Samuel. Is it hard even? I mean, the Chiefs have bent our entire understanding what's possible on a football field. It seems like setting props on them and Mahomes, I mean, it just seems nobody wants to bet against Mahomes. Does that show up in the data?
It does. Yeah. I mean, all public money's on Chiefs right now, yeah. no doubt. And on Mahomes and obviously on Kelce. I think anytime you get a game with so much star power, and this time you really do have a ton of star power on both sides of the ball, on both teams, it really drives a lot of volume around props. And so, you know, we're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of investment in players. And anytime you get a really high scoring game like we did last year, you know, it pays out for customers. And, you know, when you look at who's going to be on the field, you know, over under is 47.5, relatively high. You know, last year was the first game to go over, I think, in 4 years. But, yeah. you know, it seems like you could be poised for another high-powered game this year.
Anything else you're looking forward to this weekend?
Oh, I mean, just the overall excitement. Yeah. And, like, walking around the books here in Las Vegas, seeing our customers, spending time with the traders in the traders' room and watching them, watching all the bets flow through on the screen. Like, there's nothing like it. It is a once-in-a-year event. And it's, you know, in Las Vegas, it's the first time. And so... just enjoying all of it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ken.